Audio Journal, February 1st, 2024. I'm Richard Beatty. I was watching a tribute to Charles Osgood on a show that he hosted, and I thought about how, as a young broadcast journalist, that radio was where everything creative happens. The Osgood file, a few moments of a man and his voice, perspective and observations on a bipolar world. And though the visual branding of Osgood was a bow tie, his warm baritone, voicing journalism, advertising, and music on television and radio from his studio in his basement is what leaves an impression on me. So today, I begin this sound century receiving a baton of stories and songs, some traditional, others original, and some are blues, and others news to you. This show is the strongest medicine you can get without a prescription. Pass it on. I'm Richard Beatty, and this is Audio Journal.
Father to son, pass the baton, days of an era gone. Gone, not lost, count the cost, the good and bad we pass on. Words slip through this menagerie.
As the silver pearls of light slide down my window, I watch a stream of cars go by like shadows melting in the night. I listen to the sound of splash and whirl, listen through the rain. In the whole wide world, I sit back down and loosen the shoes of my dreams. And I pick on my guitar as I sit waiting by the phone. Tonight I'm more than single, tonight I am alone. My heart. have to play so long. My hands could feel the pain. If I could hold you with my heart, like you were the guitar in my arms, I wouldn't be here in the door playing pieces of the rain. A man who won't turn back will not know how to stop. Try living at the bottom if you think that it's so lonely at the top. It's all puppet moves and pantomime. Whose voice is this that sings? I think I'm on my own till I feel your memory pulling on the string. I wouldn't have to play so long. My hands could feel the pain. If I could hold you with my heart, like you were the guitar in my arms, I wouldn't be here in the dark playing pieces of the rain. I can see your face float out on the blue, staring off into space, wonder if you ever knew every piece I play, I play a piece of me.
Down on me. rain falling down.
Rain coming down, rain coming down on me. Up from the ground, I hear the sounds of rain falling down on me.
The things that I said, allowing against the grave. Investigating the things that I said, the things that are inside my head, to nurture the pain with rain. Rain falls down. Rain coming down, rain falling down on me. Up from the ground,
during my run at Jones Beach Theater, my first year at Jones Beach Theater in 1970, my parents took us, my brother and sister and I, to the NBC studios for a tour at Rockefeller Center. And my favorite part was the very last part. They put us in a theater. They had all the sound instruments out there, and then they turned out the lights and recreated a radio theater presentation. And when the lights came up, I said to my mother, I said, "Mom, that's what I want to do." And she said, "Well, that's a thing of the past." I don't know why that would be a thing of the past. I have also said that as an audio learner, I was an audio learner by out of necessity. When something broke down in the house, my father, who was crippled with arthritis, would tell me and instruct me how to do something. I had to be talked through a lot of things. I still work that way. I remember my last news job doing the news. And I would have my news director was very gruff, and he would actually put a lot of pressure, but he would walk you through things in a way that was very much like my dad in that way. And it was tough. It was really a tough thing to do, but I realized I'm an audio learner.
Overture Arabian Nights. The main characters of the original cast at Jones Beach Marine Theater are not actors. They are the visionaries, the entrepreneurial impresarios who had vision of what the theater on Zack's Bay could become. Arabian Nights, with a book written by George Marion Jr., with music and lyrics by Carmen Lombardo and John Jacob Loeb. Carmen's longtime collaborator and a brother-in-law to the Lombardo brothers. It was the vision of the founder of Jones Beach and the Long Island State Park Commission, Robert Moses, who had the idea to build an 8,200-seat amphitheater to replace the old wooden review stands for the water shows that played over the two decades each summer. I am often asked how I became interested in operetta. The answer is the Jones Beach Marine Theater, site of my earliest theater-going experiences. At Jones Beach, I saw A Night in Venice in 1952 and Arabian Nights in 1953, the following two seasons, and everything subsequently, usually opening nights, as my grandfather ran the restaurants at Jones Beach at the time. Hence, my watery beginnings in operetta. That's from Richard Traubner, author of Operetta, A Theatrical History. The original cast recording was recorded on June 13, 1954, at Columbia Studios on 30th Avenue in Manhattan. The studios at Columbia were known for their high cathedral ceilings and square footage big enough to take in the sounds of a full Broadway orchestra and cast. It is also the place where Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians, as well as Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, and Billie Holiday recorded the most classic library of jazz and big band. When the Lombardos sat in the seats at Jones Beach Theater in 1953, they were aware that the distance between the audience and the main stage was an eighth of a mile. The chasm brought on a brainstorm between Guy, his brothers, and Robert Moses. A four-stage, an orchestra pit, and two pontoon stages would bring in a more intimate experience for the audience and versatility to the musicals. Microphones were placed in a row along the four-stage. Gina Lombardo. One of my father's jobs each summer was to go to a department store and buy out the store's inventory of pantyhose. The family would turn the pantyhose into microphone windscreens. The elements at Jones Beach became part of the adventure. The lights, sound, and recording equipment were always first-rate and state-of-the-art. The Lombardos were detailed-oriented, road-tested, and knew how to take home field advantage in presenting bigger-than-Broadway extravaganzas. The rebuilt Jones Beach Marine Theater replaced an earlier wooden structure of the 1930s. It was one of several open-air summer theaters built around the country. La Scala is said to have had an eye out to present opera and be an American subsidiary of its famed opera school in Italy. In the end, they rejected the idea. Robert Moses first turned to Broadway producer Mike Todd, who turned the Strauss waltzes of A Night in Venice into a larger-than-life work in the summer of 52. The weather did not hold up for Mr. Todd, with lots of rainouts and refunds. Todd turned his sights to film with Around the World in 80 Days. Ironically, the Lombardo brothers produced that musical a few years later. Lombardo had a restaurant and home in Freeport and agreed to take on Jones Beach Marine Theater. The cast of Arabian Nights was stellar, with Laurits Melchior taking the role of the Sultan, Ralph Herbert, Hope Holiday, Helena Scott, and William Chapman rounding out the leads. The Lombardo-Loeb tandem wrote a tuneful score. There are comedic moments, love duets, and a waltz that pleased the crowd nightly. There were also 17 women in the water ballet. The barge and boat sets were brought in, as well as a mechanical whale, which New York Times artist Al Hirschfeld enjoyed drawing. Melchior appeared on Guy Lombardo's television show. The New York Times reviewed the show, "Sumptuous, spectacle of color. Variety, why bother with a plot when you have a disappearing water ballet?" As in the tradition of Jones Beach Marine Theater, the recording includes Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians after the show performing their classic songs for your dancing and listening pleasure. Arabian Nights opened June 24, 1954, and played until Labor Day.
Skies, they know it's great to be alive. The rooster crows a little louder. Clams clam up when you suggest clam chowder. Baghdad boys know every girl enjoys a desert date. A moonlight drive, he brings her home. It's nearly dawn outside. From such a harmless little camel ride, her pa says, son, you've won yourself a bride. That boy won't wait to set the date. He knows it's great to be alive.
Child actor when I was young, and I enjoyed that, and the bug bit me, and I've loved it ever since. And you know, sure. my voice changed in front of the New York Times and Variety, and yeah. and they made note of it. And
right?
So
yeah.
Everybody said, well, I guess that's over. And I picked up a guitar and I learned how to play, and I started writing songs, and I found this new
there
instrument
you go.
In my voice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not over till it's over, as Yogi would say. And I'm still doing it. I get together with a Celtic string band every week, and I do most of the singing, and we do some harmonies, and I still love singing harmony more than I love singing lead sometimes. We have hammer dulcimers, Appalachian dulcimers, mountain dulcimers, mandolin, and I play guitar, and there's another guitarist, and it's a beautiful sound. And even if I was just doing a song share with them every week, that would be enough for me.
Yeah.
Well, people talk about, you know, amateur musicians, and you know, the root of the word amateur is love.
Yes.
You know, I was sitting around here today waiting for these interviews to begin, and I was just sitting playing the piano or playing the banjo and just thinking, I like this as much as getting up on stage at this point.
Yeah.
It's why, you know, if we looked back before folk music became a commercial thing, it was what people did for entertainment. It's, you know,
right.
they heard an old song. You know, somebody wrote Barbary Allen, but we don't know who.
Yeah.
And it wasn't tied to, you know, it wasn't like, oh, this is a Tom Paxton song, so therefore it has meaning and value. No, it had to stand on its own. It had to
sure.
had to be a good story, a good melody. People had to like it. They had to remember it. They had to sing it. And they probably changed it a little bit wittingly or unwittingly. And I remember doing a workshop one time at Folk Alliance, at the Folk Alliance conference, and Charlie King, who's a great writer, a wonderful
musician,
was saying that what he's been doing is going down to a local hospice and singing at the bedside of different individuals. It's not, you know, it's one person, and he would talk to their families and say, what kind of music does this person like?
Yeah.
Oh, old Broadway show tunes, or old Jimmy Rogers songs, or the Beatles, or whomever. And he would learn some songs. And he just said, I never felt more useful as a musician. I remember singing my grandkids to sleep.
Yeah.
Just thinking, this is why I learned to do this. So I could have this beautiful little baby in my arms, and I could do something. I could put them to sleep and put their mothers out of their misery. and that was, you know, talk about being useful and intimate, and what an audience, my goodness. Really good at putting audiences to sleep with my music.
When you come to a stop on the street, my eyes are the ones you won't meet. With my sign, I haven't eaten yet today. I watch as your car pulls away. I am the invisible man. This was really not my plan. Wherever you don't look, there I am. I am the invisible man.
In your office, I'm the guy. The one who every morning says hi. Every day you nod, it's always the same. 10 years and you still don't know my name.
I am the invisible man. This was really not my plan. Wherever you don't look, there I am. I am the invisible man. I clean your streets, I sell your news.
I mow your lawns, I shine your shoes.
Each day I do the best I can. Still I am the invisible man. We wander life from end to end,
searching for a home, a friend,
longing for the sweet surprise,
when suddenly we are recognized.
I am the invisible man. This was really not my plan. Wherever you don't look, there I am. I am the invisible man. I am the invisible man.
Hey everybody, this is Richard Beatty. We are really going to be doing a lot with Danny O'Keefe today and his new album, Circular Turns. Good album, and it's great because it's got some live cuts and got some has some new things. We're going to really concentrate on that record. I had a great conversation with Danny last week, and realizing that he spoke a lot about gifts, being grateful for the songs that he's been given from a lot of different areas and situations. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. That was John McCutcheon before that with The Invisible Man, really about homelessness. And also that that story about sharing songs. And we're going to make a real effort today to share songs with you. And that is all part of the folk process. You heard me talking a little bit about that. I want to say that in 1978, I was 20 years old and I was on my own, moving from New York to Denver in a row of apartments on Sherman between 10th and 12th Avenues. It was a studio apartment, and the block is still called Poets Row. It's an historic district, not from my beginnings in 1978, but for what it meant to people in the Depression era. There I was starting out, and I met another young guitarist who I found so many influences from. I was trying to learn this intro that I heard from Jackson Browne's Running on Empty album. And my friend Bill said, "That's Danny O'Keefe." Well, I went down to the record store, as they say, and I bought all these mint condition records of Danny O'Keefe. Danny O'Keefe, Liv Taylor, and Bruce Cockburn. I had a college education on guitar, music, and lyrics that I just couldn't have done without. And I'm very grateful for that time. Danny O'Keefe was on Folk Process, and he is on Folk Process today. Well, we spoke a little while ago, and Danny said, "Well, I don't have any new product out to come on Folk Process." And then this album came out, Circular Turns.
Good song takes you far. You write about the moon, you dream about the stars. Blues and old motel blues, girls in daddy's cars. You sing about the nights, you laugh about the scars. Coffee in the morning, cocaine all night long. On the graveyard shoe, buried in her song. Phone calls long distance, tell you how you've been. You'll forget about the losses, you'll exaggerate the wins. When you start to let them know you got it down, it's just another town along the road. Ladies come to see you, if your name still rings a bell. They get you down to nothing, and they'll say they knew you well. So you tell them you remember, but they know it's just a game. And along the road their faces all begin to look the same. And when you start to let them know you got it down, it's just another town along the road. It isn't for the money, and it's only for a while. You stalk about the rooms, you roll away the miles. Gamblers in the neon, clinging to guitars. you're right about the moon, but you're wrong about the stars. And when you stop to let them know, you cut it down. It's just another town, just another town, just another town along the road.
In the 90s, I worked for Bob Dylan's company. It was called, publishing company. It was called Special Rider. And there were only two writers in the company. Bob was, of course, one of them. And I was the other. It was kind of fun. And one day, the woman who ran the company called me up and said, Bob's got this demo that he'd like to see if you could write lyrics to. Oh, huh. The irony of that was not lost on me. So, beautiful. She sent it up. This is in the days of cassettes. Came, I ripped that package open and slammed that cassette into the player. Like that for 32 bars. And then, after the 32 bars, off of the microphone, you can hear this. Well, well. That was it. So I didn't know if somebody was screwing with me or not, you know. But I thought, well, I'm never going to get another chance to have a copyright with Bob Dylan, so let's see what we can do. And I made the assumption that the two words that were on the demo were, in fact, intentional lyrical contributions. And I added another well. And I made it a song about groundwater. Before I knew what fracking was.
Stole the water, will swim forevermore, but he'll never reach the land on that golden shore. That faint white light will haunt his heart till his only memory lost in the dark. Dig your hole in the ground on the way down to hell till it ain't all my water. Well, well, well. When you're down on your knees, nothing left to sell, try digging a little deeper in the well, well, well. The water used to run so clear and so fresh. Now poisons creep through it that wither the flesh. Man sells us back our water like we're fish on his line, trying to turn our blood into his wine. Dig your heart in the ground all the way down to hell till there ain't no more water in the well, well, well. When you're down on your knees, nothing left to sell, try digging a little deeper.
Thank you.
Take care of your body like you care for your soul. Take care you don't dig yourself into a hole. Then you pay your price. Don't know the worth of the air and the water, the fire and the earth. Dig your hole in the ground all the way down to hell. Till there ain't no more water in the well, well, well. When you're down on your knees, nothing left to sell. Try digging a little deeper in the well. Man who stole the water will swim forevermore, but he'll never reach the land on that golden shore.
Hey, it's Richard Beatty back in the Songwriters Gallery. Welcome back. I'm your curator and host, and also a little bit of a historian. A few weeks ago, I said that for those of us who are into traditional music, and most songwriters are, Scottish poet Robert Burns is celebrated in Scotland during his birthday on January 25th, somewhere in the 1600s, I believe. So that's where haggis came from, the Robert Burns suppers. We're going to sans the haggis today. But as we get into the rest of this show, and as fortune would have it, there were songs recorded in the Library of Congress that I was listening to from early recordings. Singer-songwriter Danny O'Keefe and I were just talking about influences, blues, jazz, folk, you name it. Next week, I'll have Danny O'Keefe in the Songwriters Gallery about his 50-plus years of writing songs. But today, I want you to hear some of his early influences and that Library of Congress. And back in the 60s, that's where Danny was most influenced from. And so listen to this, and we're going to play you a couple of cuts from those Library of Commerce songs.
Hi, Richard.
Danny. Yeah, it's great to have you on. I do a show called The Songwriters Gallery, and I've been a singer-songwriter since I was 13, you know, so 14, when I learned how to play guitar, and I left musical theater, and I discovered people like you, and so boy, that the genre and everything else just really spoke to me, and for you know, from a teen to a guy who's in his 60s now, it's something that's never left me on breezy stories and stuff that that you've done all these years. And then I was delighted to hear what you're doing now, and the cause of it, and yeah, as far as the cause and everything that you stand for, you've never shied away from really telling it like it is.
Well, thank you.
If you would just kind of relate your story, how songwriting has and singing has been your way of life. I just gave you my I gave you a little bit of my story, You know, in the early 70s, when you were first on the scene, and I guess you were probably late 60s first, right? Uh-huh. You were cutting your teeth on a lot of probably old rock and roll stuff. And what was that? What were your influences?
A lot of varied influences. I mean, certainly early rock and roll, but the folk performers, blues performers, you know, when I was hitchhiking early in the 60s, one of the places that I had on my, you know, absolute list was the Library of Congress, and just to listen to all of the rare and strange stuff that they had in the library, especially as it pertained to blues and the, yeah, sort of the roots of blues and field hollers and all of that stuff. And that had a very powerful influence on me, as some of the early great players like Mississippi John Hurt and Lightning Hopkins and Reverend Gary Davis. I mean, just all of those players who not only had great intention, but most of them had a unique personal style that, I mean, I wasn't, you know, all by myself. My whole generation of players were listening to those people as well.
You know? Yeah, the early folk stuff, the stuff that's Smithsonian folkways now, and you know, a lot of that stuff is on those records. And thank goodness they kept my. I just heard some traditional stuff that Paul Robeson of all people do, and you kind of say, man, yeah, it sounded like he was a trained voice, but man, there's something about it that just brings you, you know, it's spiritual. There's a lot of stuff to it. And you guys say that nobody sings like that anymore. And
well, they do, but it's in places that we don't often hear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, and that's what always struck me about you. You have this very unique vocal style that does you tell a story almost in every song. And that's why I love Breezy Stories. Was like one of my first albums that I went out and bought of yours that just blow you away. And then your writing style and your imagery is just, it's always been, and even later, I remember buying stuff in the late 70s when you were doing Where's Jimmy? about Jimmy Hoffa and stuff like that. And so there's a little bit of humor to it, but there's also a little bit of ironic tragedy to it, too.
Well, I think I would, going back to just a little bit there, if you want to hear one of Paul Robeson's, to me, most moving pieces, you can find it on YouTube. It's called Going Home.
Oh, and right.
It is a gorgeous, very, very powerful, emotional piece.
Yes. I know the song, and I think I've heard that. And yes, thank you for that. Yeah. In fact, I'll probably play it on the show because of that. I have forgotten that he actually had sung it, too, because I've heard so many versions of that song. But it's Skyboat Song, that vocal is just amazing, I've heard other people sing that.
Lots of fools. I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving here in the morning. Won't be back no more. Well, I know my little baby. This girl don't know what a shape I'm in. You know I have a hand on loving. Boy, you know, and God knows when. Now you know I just been sitting here thinking, wondering where in the world she been.
chill won't come down. I feel like crying, but you know the chill won't come down. You know I got a funny feeling. I'ma have to leave your town. Sitting here thinking, wondering where in the world she been.
Well, you know, it's February, and this is the time when the Grammys are awarded, and I am just so happy that we could debut Sound Century, the radio program, and we are dedicated to the recorded arts and the recording arts. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. To get in touch, go to soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. That's soundcenturyoriginals@gmail.com. I'm Richard Beatty. Have a good week.